Hey, y'all, and welcome back to Country Fried Rock. We're dusting off some classic episodes from way back in the day, originally recorded from 2009 to 2012. These conversations with musicians like James McMurtry, Margo Price, and Dawes still hold up, but just a heads up. Tour dates, websites, and social media mentions from back then probably aren't around anymore. So we already let y'all hear all the episodes we could dig back up from 2015. Now we're diving into that 2012 inaugural podcast season. Before this, we were a syndicated radio show in 53 markets across the globe. I'm not going back and editing any of these shows, and I got to admit, some of them make me cringe a bit. It's all right. We all got to start somewhere. New, old episodes drop every Friday, so be sure to follow Country Fried Rock in your favorite podcast app so you don't miss any. And for more info, head on over to countryfriedrock.com. We've got all the updates there. Alrighty, let's dive right in. Welcome to Country Fried Rock, where we talk with musicians to find out what inspires their creativity. Country Fried Rock, music uncovered. Hey, Teal, this is Sloan from Country Fried Rock.
Hi, Sloan. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
Thanks a bunch for both of y'all being with us here on Country Fried Rock.
Thanks for having us.
We've got Teal Collins and Josh Z chatting with us today. The Mother Truckers of Austin, Texas got major things happening these days.
Yes.
Teal, you are one bad mamma jamma.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
How on earth did you end up where you are now musically?
I actually took up guitar when I was about 16. I first took up ukulele. My dad taught me the ukulele, and then I took up guitar when I was about 16. My dad, who was a jazz disc jockey, was friends with Les Paul. Les Paul gave me my first electric guitar that I still play on stage every night with the Mother Truckers.
That's awesome.
One of my first bands, Tradition it was called, they had me sing a song, and I was kind of scared because I hadn't really, I always sang in my bedroom, but never really sang out. And yeah. I realized at that moment it was sure a lot easier than all these strings and frets and fingers. So I put down the guitar and started singing full time, you know, and then picked up the guitar again years later with this band. It's been just great.
That is a great story. So what about you, Josh?
Well, my dad also was a musician. He could kind of play everything. He's a folk singer. He's taught me guitar. You know, I liked hard rock stuff. I grew up in the 80s. Guitar was everything. Even Olivia Newton-John had a single out, but she had to have some blazing guitar solo, or Kenny Loggins. You know, everyone had to have a shredding guitar solo. It was just, that was the time. So that's what I wanted to do, and still I'm working on it to this day.
I guarantee this is the first time anyone's ever referenced Olivia Newton-John or Kenny Loggins on this show.
Yeah, well, I did it to illustrate a point of how prevalent and ubiquitous the shredding guitar solo was as a child for me. So.
Sure.
REO Speedwagon, too. They had a shredder in the band.
Yeah, Gary Richrath. He's pretty good. Yeah, there you go. REO Speedwagon, Olivia Newton-John, and Kenny Loggins.
There you go. What led to the development of this band with the Mother Truckers?
I was in a sort of hard rock alternative, so to speak, band in the late 90s. Because the band was called Protein, and we had a couple of major label records out, and the whole thing kind of fell apart the way most record deals do, and I just wanted to do something really different than what I had been doing. Now, I always had enjoyed the more rootsy, sort of country, bluesy stuff. I just started writing songs in that style, not really with a plan, and once I had a sort of a couple of batch of songs, started looking for band members. I knew I was never a good singer anyway, so I figured I need to find myself a good singer. So Teal and I had known each other for a long time. We grew up in the Bay Area together. So I already had my eye on her for a long time, and it was just sort of natural. I just said, hey, do you know any women who play the ukulele and sing that might want to join my band?
By chance.
And so that's kind of really how it worked with that.
So did the band start out in California and then move to Texas?
Yeah, we had the Mother Truckers out there, and Teal and I moved here to Austin, and because we knew the music scene here in Austin was really strong. So, and we'd been to Austin, and we liked it. You know, about 5 years ago, we moved here, and it's been going real good ever since.
Talk a little bit about the early history of the Mother Truckers as a band, what y'all were working on, how you were getting your records out, kind of leading up to now.
By hook and by crook.
True.
When we first started out in the Bay Area, of course, nobody knows your name.
No, we had a lot of friends.
We had a lot of friends.
So it was easy for us to build up a following in the Bay Area.
Yeah, we did. But, I mean, as far as getting someone behind you, we kind of had to do a lot of writing and gathering songs together. We did an album out there, and that was great. And then
there's no industry out there right now in the Bay Area. Of course, in L.A. there is. There's no managers. I shouldn't say there's no managers or booking agents or labels, but there's just very few and they're very small.
Mm-hmm.
We had to go somewhere to get in and amongst, you know, an environment where there could be more opportunity for growth.
Yeah, and when we moved out here to Austin, we started doing residencies at this club and that club, playing once a week. And when we did, it seemed like right away there were people, not many, but some people kind of keeping an eye on it, taking pictures, saying, you should talk to this person and that person. It seemed like there was an interweaving of a network of people that wanted bands that they liked to do well. And we fell in with some great people and got a chance over there at the Continental Club to start doing a gig over there. And boy, it sure was great.
Y'all have had a lot of really nice support from other musicians that we know, a guy named Don Gallardo and a guy named Phil Hurley of Stone Honey. Both have just consistently had really nice things to say about y'all. And there is no higher compliment than from one musician to another.
That's the truth.
Absolutely. So. Those guys we've both known for a while now, and we both enjoy it.
Stone Honey, you know, we were so just blown away by them. And I think I embarrass myself at their shows because I'll be standing right up front and singing all the words to their songs. So I just think they're great. Just enjoy them.
That's very nice. What leads you up to where y'all are now?
Well, we've made 3 albums in Austin. The 4th one we made in San Francisco before all that. But, you know, just touring. We had 1 record deal, which we got out of. And so making this album was really a run for freedom. And it's been so great. We've been getting some great support also from the press here in Austin, but also from Little Steven on his syndicated program, the Little Steven's Underground Garage on Sirius.
He's awesome.
He picked our song Summer of Love as one of the coolest songs in the world, which is such an honor because
he's Little Steven.
He's Little Steven.
Exactly.
And his program's so great. The music he spins on that program is great.
I totally agree. When I grow up, I'm going to be just like him.
Me too. We can get the bandanas now.
Exactly. I've got the hair. Other than that, he really is great. That is so cool that has happened for you all. So talk a little bit about the good things about this Run for Freedom on this new release.
You want to field this one, babe?
Well, just it's the same story that many bands have is having a manager and a label that don't have your best interest in mind, bottom line. That can be really frustrating and very difficult. So just the absence of that and just being able to do things on our terms, the way we feel is best, obviously is a liberating experience. It puts the fun back into the music and, you know, makes you feel less like you have a job, more like you're just doing what you love.
And you're getting ready to take this on the road with the van tour. What's coming up with that?
Well, we're doing some dates on the West Coast and in the Southwest. We're doing, you know, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Phoenix, and we're doing a whole California potpourri of dates, and then we go head over to Europe.
Woo!
I know, that's going to really be fun.
Germany and Denmark over there.
So yep. Are you doing like a VW Westfalia van tour there?
I found that if you hit the coast in the van going fast enough, you can make it across the Atlantic.
So do y'all have any kind of sponsors with that, with the van tour?
No. Do you have anybody in mind for us?
No, I was hoping you did. I was going to let you plug it.
Well, I know. Let me see. I'll plug my dream, my wish list.
Hey, so, yeah, let's do it.
Well, I can't give them free advertising.
True.
They've just got to come get on board, and then we'll call you back.
Well, I'll tell you what. There is plenty of opportunity for any kind of mobile living situation who is looking for one kick-ass band to support on this van tour. I'll just put it out there.
Great.
Hey, listen, I have no shame.
We announced that tour. We started getting a lot of orders from Denmark, Germany, Australia, and all kinds of places, which I'm very grateful for, and hopefully people will come out and see us, and this will be the first of many trips over there. I've always wanted to do this.
I would love to ask y'all about some of the songs on this current release.
Well, our album is called Van Tour. You know, we are embarking on a van tour, but it's all tied in. That the name of our new CD is Van Tour. The title track is the very last song. And that's just, we kind of wrote that for every traveling musician that we know and don't know. I think they can all relate to it. If civilians like it too, then that's great as well. It's right out of the diary of a traveling musician, really. That's the song that obviously stands out. It's the title of the record. And the single that we're pushing right now is a song called Breakup Sex. It's just fun to say. You can hear the influences of the Small Faces, the Stones coming through on that one, but it's got this kind of powerful R&B chorus with Teal really wailing away. Takes it into a completely different realm. To me, one of the standout tracks is the song Keep It Simple, which is a sort of retro power ballad with sort of rock, influence that Teal sings, and to me, it's best singing she's ever done, and it knocks my hat off my head, so I think it's just great. The press seems to be responding well to the song Summer of Love.
And so who else do y'all like to listen to now?
I like some of our friends' bands, Stone Honey, a great deal. There's some great musicians here in Austin that I enjoy watching. But as far as what I put in my stereo at home, it's still kind of the older stuff. The Rolling Stones, AC/DC, blues stuff, old country stuff. Some of my favorite blues artists are Elmore James, Muddy Waters. That's some of my first guitar influences, actually. Lightning Hopkins, King, guys like that. Yeah.
And I like the Grateful Dead. Also, I'm not ashamed to say it. I like them. I like Zeppelin, the Beatles, Dio.
We were metalheads when we were kids, too. My dad's a folk singer, and he got me into that. Like Hank Williams and George Jones. And it's funny, I would have to say, in the broad sense of the word, I couldn't say I was a country fan, because most of it I do not like, but I give me the classics, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, George Jones, Hank Williams,
Merle Haggard,
I feel like those guys are gods. It's like transcendental to me.
That's real music.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing I realized too is if, the same with any musical style in terms of, like, if someone asked me, do you like rock music? I'd say some of it,
yeah.
Most of it, no.
Yeah.
Some of it, yeah, more than life itself, yeah. A lot of people think just if someone's older and playing blues, they must be good. They're probably not. They're probably terrible.
Thanks for hanging out with Country Fried Rock.
Talk to me a little bit about how you all develop the songs from just the concept to where it leads into a recording.
We usually, Josh and I, have more and more, as time gone on, got very, very collaborative. So maybe I'll come up with a verse or like just even a melody idea, and we'll get together and hash it out and kind of put each our two cents in. Or Josh will have something 75% done. We'll get together and I'll say, hey, that needs a bridge. Or something. So
basically, the rule is that there isn't any rules. I have read some interviews with certain musicians that have a definite formula to songwriting or a method, I should say. But yeah, we are not. Some songs, like Teal said, start with a melody. Some start with a phrase. We'll be in a conversation and some phrase will pop out and it sounds like, oh, that sounds like the name of a song. And then, well, let's write it then. And then some starts with a riff, with a musical idea. And it all really, to me, from song to song, varies a lot.
Yeah.
As you develop songs like that with this collaborative process, do you all float them in front of audiences and then kind of refine them as you go? How does that work for y'all?
Not that much. We usually like to have a completely finished demo of a song. We'll demo it up here before we even spring it on the band or the audience.
Well, but as far as what you're saying is absolutely true. We often... we'll write a new song and play it for the crowds, and we can gauge after playing about 3 times if it's going to sink or swim. And so sometimes we phase them out because we just don't feel the reaction, and sometimes we'll be playing a song that we don't think too much of, but it'll get such a strong reaction, it'll kind of come to the forefront.
That's a good way to get instant feedback and see.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess sometimes I'll think, oh, man, this song is really awesome, and we'll play it at a couple different shows, and I can just feel the energy in the room. It's not actually that awesome at all. Everyone's heads to the bar or outside for a smoke, you know.
Yeah. What's your method when you get into the studio?
I think like most bands, you make sure you get a solid drum take. You know, we record guitar, bass, and drums at the same time. You know, if we get a good bass and guitar take too, that's great. But like most bands, all you're really looking for is that good drum take, and you can go back and fix whatever mistakes are on the guitar and bass. I lock myself in there for a while and just layer a lot of guitars, and Teal throws in her guitar bits, and then we do the vocals last, because it's the most inspiring to sing when you have all the music there, when it's all, even all the decorative fancy stuff, icing you throw on top. It really, I think, helps elevate the vocal performance.
Do you feel that you've been able to capture the sound you've wanted on the releases you've had so far?
I think on the last two albums, this most recent one, Van Tour, mm-hmm. and the one before that, Let's All Go to Bed, I feel like there's a lot of energy and power in those records that kind of eluded us on some of our previous recordings. So yeah, I feel like these last two have a sort of crackling, aggressive, fun energy to them.
Do y'all have any kind of wish list for future sessions of mixers, producers, any other kind of recording people you'd like to work with?
I always wanted to have a CD or a record of mine mixed by Andy Wallace. I'll put that out there into the universe. See how that goes. Well, I wouldn't mind Jimmy Page producing an album either.
But with Country Fried Rock, one of the things we do love to talk about is kind of the road trips and the experience of your life on the road. And y'all have clearly even written songs about it.
Colorado Springs. Mexican food ever.
There's the best Mexican food ever in a restaurant there called Arceo's. It's you know, right next to probably a gas station and a Best Western or something.
Excellent.
It's just this little place, but boy, it's so good. And when our friends Sherman were going through there a month back or so, we said, you guys got to go there. And they sent us pictures of their Mexican plates. The whole thing about touring, you know, you kind of can take a snapshot on any assorted highway in America and just kind of take a snapshot of driving down a bleak highway, and that's kind of what a lot of touring is. You're just driving and driving and driving and loading in the gear, loading out the gear. You know, it's late, you find the hotel, it's hard to catch up on sleep, but at the same time, it can be really amazing. You know, we go to places we've never been before, and there'll be a girl there that did her hair like I do my hair as a homage, or somebody will say, you know, I had a bad day and you guys really lifted me up out of that, and I thank you. And that's why we do it. I mean, it's just so much, it's fun to engage with people and have that feeling like, you know, let's all have a good time. Mm-hmm. We're here to have some fun.
Well, I don't know how you could possibly attend one of your shows and not have fun.
Thank you.
I forget who I was chatting with who said, you know, the thing about being on tour is you go everywhere and you don't see any of it.
Yeah. We bring things that are comforting to us on the road sometimes to keep that. This trip we'll be bringing travel guides to Denmark and Paris because we're going to be Germany, because we're going to be going over there, and we'll be excited about that, looking forward to it. But, you know, you bring some things in the old backpack that make you feel at home, a candle, a picture of the dog, gravel, whatever it is.
You're listening to Country Fried Rock.
And the opening track is called Alien Girl, and that's one that mostly Josh wrote. I resisted it for a minute, but then once we got it worked up as a band and started playing it, it really had a life and a feeling to it. And so now a lot of people on the internet and stuff say, hey, Alien Girl. They call me Alien Girl, and it's always a surprise to me, but I like it. It's kind of a take over the planet. This hot alien girl comes down and grabs her man and says, you can roll with me while I blow up this world, and we'll come back and reinvent it again.
Other than world domination, what are y'all planning to do next?
That trip to Europe sounds pretty fun to me. And then we're just going to continue to tour, play music. We'll be traveling around for at least a year on this one.
Yeah.
I got to jump back here. In those early ukulele days, what on earth were you playing?
When I was little?
Yes.
Focused on a variety of jazz standards. I mean, I was playing Ain't She Sweet, Mississippi Mud, and all those kind of things that are really fun and probably a total of 5 chords in them. But I taught all my little friends those words too, and we'd open the ukulele case downtown Mill Valley, and play those songs, and people would throw a little money in there, and we'd go blow it on candy and, you know, a little Beatles too, probably.
That's hilarious.
Country Fried Rock. Find the full playlist from this episode on countryfriedrock.org. Check us out on iTunes. No music, just talk.
Our theme music is from The Full Tones.
Our Country Fried Rock stinger is from Steve Soto and the Twisted Hearts. Country Fried Rock.
Copyright 2012
by Lilypad Productions. All rights reserved.
Ever he been helping us from Country Fried Rock.
Hmm? Well, hey, y'all. Thanks for stumbling back into our archives here with Country Fried Rock. I'm your host, Sloan Spencer, and we've got some brand new conversations coming your way in January 2026 at Dive Bar Music Club. Each month, I'll get together for a virtual roundtable with some of my other friends in independent music, from venue owners to touring musicians, zine creators, and booking agents. A rotating cast of characters, all talking about what we're listening to these days. Go ahead and subscribe now in your favorite podcast app. It's Dive Bar Music Club, coming your way January 2026.